Now we're holding on page Ayin Gimel in Kiddushin Ois Choftes. The Mishnah says, continuing on this topic of mitzvahs and the various categories of mitzvahs and the various categories of things that a person needs to do. So the Mishnah says, Kol sheyeshnei b'mikra, a person who has mikra, who has knowledge of Tanakh, and he knows how to learn it, over Mishnah, and of Mishnah, over Derech Eretz, and he has Derech Eretz. The Rambam says specifically that means that, specifically it means that he gets along well with other people, he has good Midas. Marsha brings from Rambam that it actually means that he does business honestly and nicely with people. Marsha points out it doesn't mean only that. That's just a common example of Midas Tovus. It really means anything else. It really means all the other Midas that a person should have. So a person has Mikra and Mishnah and Derech Eretz Loy B'Mehera Hu Chotei. He won't be so quick to sin. He has those to be good qualities, so then now that helps keep him away from Averis. Shenema, as the pasuk says, the three ply cord is not very quickly snapped. So he has these three plies all woven together, so that helps keep him away from Averis. The Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnah makes a point. You have three basic things a person needs. A person needs to believe in the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. A person needs to do the mitzvahs, and he needs to have good midas. So the three things over here, mikra, it reflects the things that a yid has to believe. For the most part, those things are more explicitly in Chumash. As opposed to the mitzvahs, many of them are not explicit in Chumash. We need Mishnah for those to explain them. And then Derech Eretz would be Midas Tovus. So when a person has all those three things and he's well accomplished, so then he's not so quick to sin. And of course, Marsha points out, it's not going to be enough to just have Derech Eretz. You need Mikra and Mishnah, because as we say in Pirkei Avos, Lo Yama Aretz Chosid. Continues the Mishnah, V'chosha Einer, Lo B'Mikra, V'lo B'Mishnah, V'lo B'Derech Eretz. Somebody who has none of the above, no knowledge of Mikra, or Mishnah, or Derech Eretz, Einer Min HaYishuv, he's not part of civilization. The Rambam teaches it like he's not accomplishing anything useful for the world. In fact, the world and society might be better off without such a person, unless, of course, he changes. So the Gemara starts off, Omer Rav Elazar b'Rav Tzadik. Now this next piece is going to be about tzaddikim versus rishoyim, and about mitzvahs and schosim versus averus. On the face of it, it seems to have more to do with the previous Mishnah, where we were talking about that if somebody has one mitzvah can balance him to the side of good, and one avera can balance him to the side of bad. So on the face of it, this part about the tzaddik versus the rosha really belongs to that. Omer Rav Elazar b'Rav Tzadik, L'ma tzaddikim nimshalim ba'olam hazeh. What can we compare tzaddikim to in this world? L'ilan shkulo emid b'makam tara. Imagine a tree that's basically standing, most of it is standing, in a place which is tahar, so its trunk is in a place which is tahar, v'noif v'noif l'makam tumah. But the branches of it hang over into a place of tumah. So the branches of it, let's say, hang over a cemetery. Niktaf noifer, so now if you chop off those branches, nimta kuloim and makam tara, then the entire tree is standing in a place of tara. So the same way, in other words, the person is basically, we know a person is like a tree, ki adamei tzadeh, as we have from last week's parasha. But we have that sometimes a person branches out into where he doesn't belong. So therefore, in other words, so fundamentally the idea is that tzaddik is basically good, his trunk, his basic metzius is good, sometimes he messes up. Kaha Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Yisurim al tzaddikim ba'olam hazeh, the same way Hashem will bring suffering on tzaddikim in this world, Kadesh Yishur ha'olam haba, so that they will inherit olam haba. So it's like chopping off those few branches that are sticking out into the place of tumah, so that way he's completely in a place of tahara, and now he can get his complete reward in Olam Haba. Shenema, as the passage says, V'hoyo reishischa mitzar, your beginning will be small, and the word mitzar actually has a double meaning. It can mean small, as in Marsha points out, it can mean the small amount of averus that this person did. It can also mean mitzar meloshen tsar, as in your beginning in this world is going to contain tsar. V'achrischa, but your end, your future, yisge ma'oi, will grow and spread out very much. So therefore, so in other words, the idea is like this: the tzaddik has his. We don't mean a tzaddik like in Tanya. We mean a tzaddik who has more mitzvahs, and we mean tzaddik the dinner who has more mitzvahs than averus. So the few averus that he has are like those branches sticking out where they don't belong. So then the yisurim are like chopping off those branches and then putting him completely where he belongs. Then on the other hand, well, ma rishoyim domim ba'olam hazeh. On the other hand, what can we compare rishoyim to in this world? Le'ilan should the other way around. Le'ilan should kula emrim makom tuma, a tree that's basically standing in a place of tuma. V'noifin notel makom tara, and the branches of it stick out over into a place of tara. Niktat noifin. So now, if you chop off the branches that are hanging over to the place of tara, kula emrim makom tuma. Now the entire tree is standing in a place of tuma. So the same way, in other words, the Rosh, we're talking about somebody who basically has made his basic mitzvahs to be evil, and therefore you can compare him to a tree that is standing in a place of tumah. Maharsha points out, you know, you have there are certain kinds of Rishoyim who are going to be judged for a short while in Gehenim. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah expresses it, Mitzach Tefin Va'olim. They go into Gehenim for a little while and they scream out from the pain, and then they right away come up from there. Here we're talking about a worse category of Rosh than that, the kind who are going to be in Gehenim for a long period of time. So the same way, the Nimshal is, Kacha Kodesh Baruch Hu Mashpi Alehem Toivel Rishoyim Ba'olam Hazeh, the same way Hashem grants goodness to the Rishoyim in this world, Kedei L'Tordon, Olaho Ridon, Olaho Rishon, L'Madrega Tachtona. This way they're going to be driven out of Olam Haba, and they're going to be brought down, or they're going to be made to inherit the Rishol L'Madrega Tachtona, Shor Gehenim, to the lowest levels of Gehenim. So these are the people that don't even deserve to just have a short spell in Gehenim, and then they're going to get out of it. We're talking about the people who are going to be there for a good long time to come. Shenema, as the positive says, Yesh derech yosho lifnei ish. There is a straight way in front of a person. Hashem gives a person mitzvahs, and Hashem gives a person instruction of how to live his life, but a person doesn't follow it. Vachrisa, darchei moves, the end of it, the result of it, is ways of death, meaning, in other words, he doesn't listen, and he doesn't follow that derech yosho, and therefore he winds up on the darchei moves. Comparable, again, to the tree where the few branches that are in the Makom Tara are removed, namely he's given his tzara in this world, and then there's nothing left for Olam Haba. So Maharsha points out that on the face of it, this whole piece belongs really to the previous Mishnah. It talked about over there, how one mitzvah can get a person to the side of good, and vice versa, so therefore this idea, this metaphor with the tree and the branches would fit with that. With that said, there are a couple of Mefarshim who explain it will fit with our Mishnah as well, and one of them is Hamakne on this Masechta from the Hafla, explains that the idea is we're saying in the Mishnah, we're talking about Mikra, Mishnah, and Derech Eretz. Each of those has, so to speak, a trunk. It has a primary thing, and it branches out into a lot of details. The same way you have a person's basic personality, which is like the trunk of a tree, and then it branches out into different directions. Sometimes those directions end up being not so good, as with the tzaddik, who has his few branches that stick out into the place of Tumah, and so on and so forth. But therefore, it does go together with our Mishnah, in the sense that you have that idea of the basic thing, and then you have the branchings out of it. He brings also a cute verse. You know, you have the pasuk we have in the Haftarah of Shabbos Shuvah, Ki Yeshorim Darchei Hashem, the ways of Hashem are straight, the tzaddikim yochuvam, ufoshim yikosh luvam, the tzaddikim go in those ways, and the Rishoyim stumble in those ways. So he says a cute vort on it. The vort is, as we're saying over here, Yesh Derech Yosho Lefnei Ish, there's a straight path in front of a person. The tzaddikim follow that path, they walk in it. The Rishoyim, once in a while, it may happen that a Rosha happens to do one good thing, but it's almost like yikosh luvam, like he accidentally stumbled on it, rather than he's doing it deliberately, because it was saying basically his mitzios is he's made himself into like a tree that's standing in a place of trauma.
Exception to the rule.
So it's kind of the exception to the rule, and it's almost like he stumbled into it by accident rather than doing it consciously. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara continues. Ukvar hoyer of tar. Now, ukvar means and already, meaning this point that we were discussing was already discussed by the Chachamim in a previous generation. So Maharsha says, now already we're starting to talk about something that has to do with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had said that, again, that a person has to have Mikra and Mishnah, which are various aspects of learning Torah, as well as Derech Eretz, which among other things includes Mais and Tovim. So the question is now, which one of those is most primary in a person's life? It already happened. This was already a point of discussion previously that Reb Tarfon and the other Zkenim, the other Chachamim, were reclining at a meal in the second floor, in the upper floor of the house of Nitzeh in Lud. Nitzeh was the fellow's name who owned the house. He made the upper floor of his house available to the Chachamim. Now, some people, you'll find some historians who claim, and you have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that mentions that in that Aliyah based Nitzeh is when they discuss the halachas of Mesiras Nefesh, the halachas of which Averas a person has to be Moisei Nefesh for. So you'll find historians who say that basically it was like an attic and they were hiding out there and having to discuss these kinds of topics. But not necessarily. We often find in Shas that the Aliyah, the second floor of a house, was often like the public reception room in the house. It was almost like a main living room or dining room or something in a house. So it may well have been the same thing over here. In other words, they're talking having a major get-together of the Chachamim at a meal, and they're discussing matters of Torah over there. Anyway, so at that point, Nishal Shela Zubifnehem. This question was brought up for discussion before them. This question of which one is more fundamental, Torah or mitzvahs. Here in our Mishnah, again, we're mentioning there's Torah. You have this two aspects of Torah and one of Derech Eretz, and you need the three of them together, but which one is the most primary thing? Marsha points out, you have the expression in the pasuk, v'chuta meshulosh lo b'mehevi yinosik, the triple cord, the triple rope will not be so easily snapped. The implication is almost like you have one primary thing, v'chut, the thread, but it's meshulosh, it has two other ones attached to it. So the question is, which of the three is the most primary thing? So that's why the Gemara is bringing this discussion over here. So the question was, Talmud Gadol and Maisa Gadol, which one is greater, learning Torah or the actions of mitzvahs? Nenad of Tarfon V'Omar, said of Tarfon, spoke up and said, Maisa Gadol, the deeds, the actions and mitzvahs are the greater and more important thing. Nenad of Akiva, Omar Talmud Gadol. Rabbi Akiva then spoke up and said, no, Talmud learning Torah is the greater thing. Well, the Chachamim discussed it among themselves. Nanu, Kulam, V'Amru, they all spoke up and they agreed with Rabbi Akiva. Well, in a way, they agreed. They kind of made like almost like a compromise. Talmud Gadol, Sha'a Talmud, Mevili De Maise. Learning Torah is great because learning brings to Maise. So in other words, when Rashi explains, when you learn Torah, then it means you have the best of both. You have Torah and you have Maise and Torah, because one leads to the other. You can't have Maise without Talmud because, again, Lo Yama Oretz Chosid. So now, on the face of it, though, so what does that mean? Are we saying then that ultimately Talmud itself is the greater thing, or are we saying it's only great because it's a prerequisite to Maisa? So Tosfos discusses over here, this Gemara is also in Bava Kamma. Tosfos mentions that based on a Gemara in Bava Kamma, it comes out that actually that the greater thing would be Maisa then. So Tosfos disagrees with that, because our Gemara seems to be saying that after all, Talmud itself is Gadol. We're not just saying that's great because it leads to Maisa. We're saying that Talmud itself is a greater thing, as the Gemara is going to go on to bring over here examples of how Talmud is greater than Maisa. In Bava Kamma, also Tosfos discusses what Rashi says and disagrees with it. So there's a lot of discussion how to reconcile this and how to end for Rashi. Among others, one point is it depends what stage is a person in his life. If he hasn't yet learned Torah, he has to learn Torah first. Otherwise, how is he going to know how to do the mitzvahs? So in that sense, Talmud Gadol. On the other hand, later on, once a person has learned and he knows what to do, maybe then Maisa Gadol. And you also have the consideration, for example, is there, let's say, when you have a mitzvah that has to be done now and it can't be done by others, then we often say that mitzvah will override learning Torah unless like the person is like Torah Seim Nosa, like Reb Shimon Yechoi V'Chaverav. So there's quite a bit of discussion about the ins and outs of what exactly was the argument over here. And there is, in fact, there are a number of places in Hasidus where it talks about, of course, Eilu Be'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, both perspectives have their place. In fact, one way of looking at it is they're reflected. It's mentioned in a couple of Maimarim, beginning from the Alter Rebbe, that this difference is related to the two parashiyos, the first two parashiyos of Shema. The first one you have, Vishinantam Lavanecha, but Dibarta Bum, comes before Maisa Mitzvahs, comes before Kshautam Oisayodecha, and Oksavtam Amuzuzas Pesecha Visharacha, whereas in the second parasha, you have the other way around. First you're talking about the Mitzvahs Maisias, and then you're talking about Vilimadta Moisimus Venechem. So it's like those two parashias themselves reflect the first one as saying Talmud Gadol, and the second one as saying Maisa Gadol. And nowadays, we look at it as Talmud Gadol, especially as Alfred ever points out in Hilchos Talmud Torah, after all, learning Torah itself is a mitzvah. So therefore, a person learns Torah, and he has both. He has Talmud Torah. Not only through Talmud Torah, he can come to doing mitzvahs, but Talmud Torah itself is a mitzvah. But we're going to see the greatness of Maisa even over Talmud, and there's explanations about that related to the Meraglim, and there's a variety of different points that are made in that regard as far as which one is greater, the different perspectives on whether Talmud Gadol or Maisa Gadol.
The Rebbe's main thrust was Hamaisa
Hukka. Hamaisa Hukka, right. So there's the idea that we have currently in Tanya, in Egeres HaTshuva, in Egeres HaKodesh, I mean, where the Alter Rebbe makes the point that in earlier generations, their Ikar Avodah was learning Torah, whereas nowadays our Ikar Avodah is Tzedakah and other Maisa Mitzvahs. So you have that distinction as well, yeah. Yeah, the discussion about the Meraglim, that they made the mistake of thinking that Talmud Gadol and Maisa is not so important. You have the opposite mistake of Korach, who thought that Maisa Gadol and Maisa Mitzvahs, everybody is equal, and what you put in Talmud Torah is less important, and you have on and on, you have many places in Chassidus where it talks about different angles on Talmud Gadol versus Maisa Gadol. Okay, so the Gemara continues, Tanya. So we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi, I'm a Gadol Talmud. Rabbi Yossi says, here's a proof from Jewish history that Talmud, that learning Torah is greater. The Jewish people were given the mitzvah of challah, and they were learning it 40 years before they actually started doing it. Namely, challah is one of the mitzvahs at Tluyas Baretz. Usually the mitzvahs at Tluyas Baretz, the mitzvahs that take effect when they enter Eretz Yisrael, most of those take effect only actually after Kibush V'chiluk, only after they finished conquering, dividing Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim, which took 14 years. However, challah is an exception Rashi brings from Sifri on the Psukim in Parshas Shlach, that challah, because the Torah has a different phrase over there, therefore it's an exception. It took effect as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael. The first time anybody made a batch of dough from the grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael, they right away had to take challah from it. So that means, but still, they received the mitzvah in Parshas Shlach, the beginning of the 40 years. So they're learning this mitzvah of challah for 40 years before they actually put it into practice. So that's an example, Rabbi Yossi says, of how you see that Talmud is Gadol. But you see that learning Torah is so great that Hashem gave them the mitzvah long in advance so they could partake in it. So Shekhanim L'Challah Aboyim Shana, it came 40 years before anybody ever took Challah. The Trumas L'Maisrus Nun Dalad, it came 54 years they were learning about the Dinim of Truma and Meiser before they actually put it into practice, because Truma and Meiser takes effect only after Kibush V'Chiluk. So you had the 40 years in the desert plus 7 years conquering Eretz Yisrael and 7 years dividing it up among the Shvatim. L'shmitim samach aleph, the next thing is they were learning the dinim of Shemitah for 61 years before they put it into practice, because they started the Shemitah cycle after the 14 years of Kibush V'chiluk. So then it took another 7 years until the first Shemitah arrived. Strictly speaking, what we're talking about, when we say the Shemitim, Samach Aleph, it actually means as far as all the aspects of Shemitah, including, we know one part of Shemitah is Shemitah's Ksopim, the fact that all loans are cancelled, which is why we have the concept of a Prusbel, that in particular, that takes effect only at the end of the Shemitah year. So that's what Gemara is going to go on to say. That unlike Yovel, which takes effect near the beginning, Shemitah takes effect, a certain aspect of Shemitah only takes effect at the very end of the year, and therefore we can say it was 61 years from when they received it at Matan Torah. After that, you had they had 40 years in the desert, 14 years of Kibush V'chiluk, and then 7 years, and only at the end of that 7th year, which is now 61 years total, is the last din of Shemitah, named the Shemitah's Ksafim, coming into effect. And then Yovel's Kuf Gimel, and as far as Yovel, it took 103 years from when they first learned the dinim of it until the first Yovel happened, because Yovel is a 50-year cycle. So if it took 54 years before they started the Shemitah and Yovel cycle, the first Yovel comes around 50 years later. So that's the one asked, Meir Shalosh, Meir Ba'Arba Havyan, isn't it 104 years, 54 plus 50? The answer is Kasava, because Rav Yossi holds, and it's not just he holds as though there's a machlokas about this. This is, in fact, the way it is. Yovel mitchilase hu meshamet. The shmita, the fact that Yovel cancels that all avodim ivriim go free and all fields return to their owners, that comes from the beginning of the year. From Yom Kippur, to be exact. Actually, the Gemara explains in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, things are kind of in limbo, and then Yom Kippur, all the slaves go home, and all the fields return to their owners. So the point is that, yes, you have, so from Matan Torah, you have 40 years in the desert, you have 14 years of conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, and then you have 49 years until the beginning of the Yovel year, and right away at the beginning of the year, the special dinim of Yovel, the dinim that are unique to Yovel, come into effect. So therefore, that's why we're saying it was 103 years. The point being, in other words, the point of all this being, That again, Rabbi Yossi is saying, so you see how much more important learning Torah is than Maisa and Mitzvahs, that we see that Hashem gave these Mitzvahs and the Jewish people were learning them and partaking in them long before they ever put them into practice. Continues Rabbi Yossi, Ochshem Shetalmud Kodim Maisa, just as learning Torah comes before Maisa, Kach Dinoi Kodim Maisa. The same way, when a person is judged about what he accomplished in his lifetime, he's first judged regarding his Torah learning before we get to Maisa Mitzvahs. And that would be Kiddur Rav Hamnuna. Like what Rav Hamnuna says, the Omer Rav Hamnuna, Ein Techilas Dinei Shel Adam El Al Divrei Torah. When a person is judged by the Beis Din Shamayla, the first thing, the first argument, the first claim that's going to be brought against him is, why didn't you learn, if he didn't learn Torah, is why didn't you? Mifnei Maloya Sakta Batorah, Rashi says. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Poter Mayim Reshis Modern. Literally it means, literally the simple meaning of Poter Mayim means when a person lets loose a flood of water. Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, like let's say you have, for example, like you have a dam or a dike or something that's holding back a body of water, and somebody makes a hole in it, and all of a sudden you have and then you have a bigger and bigger flood, and it's unstoppable. The same way Reishis Modin, the same way as the beginning of a quarrel, you start an argument, you start a fight, you never know how far it's going to extend. But here. So in the simple meaning, in other words, Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, be careful of starting arguments because it's like making a hole in a dam. You never know how far reaching the effects will be. But here, Rav Hamnuna is doubting as follows. Poter Mayim, if a person patters himself from Mayim and Ein Mayim Ela Torah, a person unlooses from himself and I don't have to bother learning Torah, Reishis Modin, then the beginning of the judgment against him in the Beis Din Shamayla is going to be over that. The question is, Tosfos points out that the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that when a person is first brought in for his judgment, the first question he's asked is Nasasav Nasata Be'emuna. Did you do business honestly? So why are we saying over here that the first thing he's challenged about is why didn't you learn Torah? So Tosfos says, as far as the questions, he's first asked about whether he did business honestly. But as far as the punishment, if he needs to be punished, the first thing is going to be for the fact that he failed to learn Torah. There's a lot of other different answers, including Marshall refers over here to his comments in Sanhedrin that there can be a difference. Did the person taka have a head for learning Torah or not? If he tell you have, sometimes you have. Partially the person who doesn't have the head for proper limud Torah for whatever reason. So then he's going to be asked first about business.
Also, the upbringing by his parents.
How he's brought up by his parents will make a difference. Yeah, Ion Yaakov actually refers in that connection to a story from Tanad Ve'eliyahu, which I've mentioned before. In this shir, which is that Eliyahu and Navi one time met up with a fellow who wasn't learning Torah, and he asked him, why not? And the guy says, I have no head for it. So Eliyahu asked him, what do you do for Parnassah? The guy says, I'm a fisherman. And he starts explaining in detail. So Eliyahu tells him, so tell me a little bit about what's involved. And the guy starts explaining, you have to know about the currents, and you have to know about the different kinds of traps and so forth. And Eliyahu tells him, so for that you have a head, and for learning Torah you don't. So Ion Yaakov says that's actually how we reconcile these two Gemaras. The person is asked, why didn't you learn Torah? And if he's going to say, well, I didn't have the head for it, then we ask him, well, did you do business honestly? And if you did, it means you had a head for business, so then why didn't you learn Torah?
The Gerari used to say, El Soto and El Sato de Emuno, when you make business, do you believe in God? If you believe in God that he's bringing the business, then you should learn Torah instead of doing Torah.
Good work, yeah. Okay. So therefore, the judgment for Torah comes before the judgment for Maisa Mitzvahs. And the Braisa continues. Hashem should dinner kodon maisa kach schora kodon maisa. Also, furthermore, the same way as the punishment for failing to learn Torah comes ahead of the punishment for failing to do mitzvahs, the same way the reward for learning Torah comes ahead of the deeds of the actions of mitzvahs. If a person did learn Torah, then he gets a reward for that from the Eibishter before his reward for the mitzvahs. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Vayitim lahem ha'artes goyim. The pasuk says Hashem gave the Jewish people, the lands of the nations, the land of Canaan, and they inherited the hard work of the nations, of the peoples that have lived there before, as we find in the Psukim where Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, you're going to be living in houses that you didn't build, and you're going to be eating from vineyards that you didn't plant, in order as a reward for it, that they will observe his chukim. And Rashi points out, a few blocks earlier, the Gemara had said that the word Tishmerun refers to learning Mishnah. So the same way here, Yishmeru Chukav, as a reward for them learning his Chukim in the Mishnah, with Sodos of Yin Soto, and they guard his Torah, namely by fulfilling it. So we see that the reward for doing the mitzvah, so the reward for learning the Torah came first, and the reward for doing the mitzvah came afterwards. Marsha explains that you have like this. So Vayitim lahem ha'artes goyim refers to Hashem giving the land itself to the Jewish people. And we know from the first Rashi in Chumash that the Torah begins with Bereishis bara Elokim to stress the point that the Eibishter created the world and he can give it to whoever he wants. But then you have on top of that, though, you have what the goyim added to the land. They built houses on it. They planted vineyards on it and so forth. That's not part of the Eibishter's original promise. So for that we use the expression val mal umim yiroshu, that they inherited it from the goyim, kind of. And then you have, these are two separate things. The one is as a reward for learning Torah, and the other one is for observing the mitzvahs. So we see that the reward of receiving Eretz Yisrael itself came before the reward of receiving the houses and the vineyards and whatnot, which was what the goyim added afterwards, which is a reward for the Jewish people keeping mitzvahs. The Gemara continues. We said in the Mishnah, Piska, quoting from the Mishnah, we said, Kolsha ainin lebim mikra of lebim Mishnah, ainin min a Yishuv. We said if a person doesn't have any accomplishments in mikra or in Mishnah, and the Mishnah had also mentioned, also he has no derech eretz either, which again, the Rambam might understand, I understood that specifically in the narrow sense, if he doesn't do business honestly with people, which was what we were talking about over here in the Sosav and Asata Be'emunah, and Marashal says it means more generally midis tovis, he doesn't get along with people, ainin min a Yishuv. So we said he's not part of civilization. As the Rambam said, he's not really accomplishing anything for the world. Rabbi Yechanan apostle la'edus. Rabbi Yechanan adds also, such a person is apostle la'edus. Why would he be apostle la'edus? Rashi explains, because he's not machbid, since he's not min ha'yishuv, he's not part of civilization, he's not accomplishing anything useful for the world, so therefore he's not going to care about himself, he's not going to care about his self-respect to not say Eidus Sheker. A normal person has a certain sense of self-respect. He would be embarrassed to say Eidus Sheker because, you know, first of all, he may be caught, but second of all, he's not going to feel good about himself for it. But a person who's ainim min ha'yishuv, we're afraid that he doesn't have those mental guardrails, and he may well go and say Eidus Sheker because he doesn't care one way or the other. So the Rambam phrases it a little differently. The Rambam says once a person has descended that low that he has no mikra, no mishnah, and no derech eretz, then we suspect that he's over on many averus in the Torah. And we know many averus make a person pasul Eidus. So that would be another way of looking at it. Speaking of that, then, the Gemara mentions in another example of somebody who is pasul eidus, tananaban and ha'oichel b'shuk, a person who eats in the street, tarez a doymel kelev. Then he's like a dog, v'yeshem and pasul eidus, and some say that he's pasul eidus. It actually explains, for the same reason, he's not machbid on his own covered, so therefore he may well not have the self-respect that would prevent him from saying eidus sheker either. Rabbi Idi Bavin says you should know the halacha is like that Yeshayimim, and such a person is posel edus. Now,
certain places that other people are reading
it. So one second. First of all, so for Tosfos brings up a point. So hold on. We have a lot to talk about this. So Tosfos points out That there's a, Tosfos points out from Yerushalmi, where one time Reb Shimon Berebi was eating in the street, and Reb Meir says, "Ein shvach v'talmud lecha v'shuk." It's not a proper thing for a Talmud to be eating in the marketplace. It doesn't tell him doim lekelev, it doesn't tell him pasal la'edrus. So what are we saying over here? So Tosfos brings a few possibilities. First, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel that what we mean is a person steals from people from market stalls and eats. So then he's doing the Kalim, and he's postulatus, because a Gazlan is postulatus. Tosfos says, well, yeah, if he's a Gazlan, of course he's postulatus, and what do the Yeshayim have to add, and why do we need to say the halacha is like them? So Tosfos gives two answers within that. We can understand Rabbeinu Chananel to be saying he's grabbing less than a shava pruta. In halacha, stealing less than a shava pruta is not considered stealing, because we assume that a yid is going to be moichel on it. A goy, the Gemara mentions in other places, is makbid on less than a shava prutta, but a yid is not. We know that can be a serious thing in itself. Before the Dara Mabel, for example, infamously, they were doing that, but nevertheless, in halacha, it's not considered stealing. Another possibility, Tosfos says, you could have, maybe it's even more than a prutta, but something that the storekeeper wouldn't really mind. Sometimes you have things that he has out where he doesn't mind, like if you take free samples or whatever, but yeah. Then Tosfos brings another explanation. A lot of times you have, you know, even nowadays, let's say, you know, you go to some ice cream stores or whatever, and you ask them for a taste of the flavor, and they'll give you. So what does this guy do? He goes around to the stores pretending like he wants to buy from them, and he wants to sample a little bit of the food they have for sale. And then he doesn't end up buying anything, and he goes to another store and repeats the same scam. So that would be why we're comparing him to a dog, because that's what a dog does. It grabs a little here, a little there, whatever it can get a hold of. So that's another explanation. Then Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam that what we mean is when we say ha'ochel b'shuk, specifically where he's eating a meal of bread, that would be a big gnai, as opposed to, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if, let's say, he's eating fruit or drinking a bottle of water or something, it might not be such an issue. Now, yeah, so you're mentioning that, yeah, there is quite a bit of discussion over this halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch, primarily talking about the case where the person is eating a suda of bread. The Nois Kalim over there deal with exactly which cases we're saying will be posel la'edus. But there is quite a bit of discussion. There's, for example, interestingly, the Rav Menashe Klein, the Mishnah Halachas, the Ungvar Rav, brings in one of his Truvas. He goes so far as to say that even he says, for example, people eat by a smorgasbord. People are walking around over there with plates of food and walking around and eating. He says it's not right, and that might even be in this category of Eichel B'Shuk Posel La'edus. And he brings in that connection, by the way, he brings a cute story involving the Shoyle Meshiv, the famous Rav, the Shoyle Meshiv. One time he sees a person out, he's looking out of his window, he sees a person walking along and eating something. He calls him, the guy, asks him, where are you from? I'm from Krakow. He tells him, I want to send a letter with you to your Rav. So he writes up a letter, a sealed letter, and gives it to the guy to bring to the Rav of Krakow. And the guy's priding himself. Look how important I am. The Shoyle Meshiv entrusted me with a letter. B'chola. He brings it to the Rav over there. The Rav unseals it. It says, the Shoyle Meshiv writes, I saw this guy eating in the street. I want to inform you, Rav of Krakow, that he's posel la'edus. Anyway, many other posts don't go quite that far about all this. Yeah, for example, let's say you have, you're sitting, for example, you know, a lot of restaurants that have tables outside. If you're sitting there, so they talk about, you know, maybe it's not, you're not eating in front of all the Bnei or Shusar Abin. Maybe it's only a problem when, like, you're walking along. Maybe it's not a problem when you're sitting. Maybe it's not a problem when you're not visible to all the Bnei or Shusar Abin, like you have by a restaurant. It's often semi-fenced in or whatever. They talk about maybe there's not such a problem if you're eating, let's say, on a bus, a variety of different things that contemporary posts can talk about to mitigate this, to make it maybe not so bad. With that said, though, I saw in this connection while I was looking this up, there was a case years back where Rav was Masada Kedushin, and they had a bit of a hard time finding aid by the wedding because most of the people there were relatives. Anyway, Akitsu, one of the people they found for an aid, people came over and told the Rav that this guy was seen walking down a street in Yerushalayim in Me'er Shearim eating a slice of pizza, and the Rav has to start clearing, does that make him possible aid or not? So, yeah.
The Chassan is a stumbling block for eating. You're not supposed to eat while you're standing up anyway and walking around.
Well, right.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. So the Mishnah Halachas in particular doesn't like this whole idea of walking around and eating by smorgasbord. He says, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The Gemara continues. Donash Bakapora. Bakapora gave the following drosha, talking about the importance of a person has to have derech eretz. Ragzan, an angry person, loy also be yada elag ragzanusai. All he accomplishes with his anger is just his anger. In other words, he doesn't even get any schar. All he does is, as he explains, he weakens his own body. He weakens his own flesh by his anger, and he's not gaining anything from it. Eitz Yosef adds, you have other Gemaras that talk about the Komin and Gehenim Shotim boy, and he has other kinds of diseases that he's subject to and whatever. So the point is, even in other words, you have all the more so, you have a Manigadur, he says, has to be careful to avoid this midah of anger. He has to tell the people off and be sure to keep them on the right path, but not in a way using anger. Continues back up para, ul odam toiv, on the other hand, a good person, a person who has good midas, mat imemoisim et primaisa ba ulamazeh, he will be given a taste of the fruits of his actions in ulamazeh, like we learned before about maisim toivim having fruits and Hashem giving payrus for them in ulamazeh. Marsha adds that this also, besides that it has to do with the Derech Eretz of our Mishnah, you also were saying over here that such a person is, if he's an angry person like that, and he's subject to that, then you can be sure that his Averis are greater in number than his Schosim. So not only we're saying that the Loi also be Yodeh, means in other words, he's trying to do mitzvahs, but nevertheless, really, he's not getting anywhere with it. He's going to have more averus. He's going to end up having more averus than mitzvahs and mina gehenim and tachtonius and so on and so forth. Whereas if he's an odom toiv, if he's good and has good midas to other people, then he's given from pre meisav, because again, he's in basically havas shalom shenon al machaveru, which is one of the things in Eru Dvarim that gets him payrus in this world. And continues back a part of a Hosha Ena, like a Mikra, like a Mishnah, like a Derech Eretz. If a person, as we said in our Mishnah, does not have Mikra, Mishnah, or Derech Eretz, Dur Hanam Imenu. Make a neder, dur is like the word neder, make a neder to not have any hana from such a person. In other words, stay far away from him. Because you don't want to stay, you don't want to be in company with such a person. There is actually an interesting vort on it, that the connection between the Ragzan and this Dorim Menu Hana, Ion Yaakov points out, the Gemara in Nedorim explains many times when people would make a neder would actually be in a fit of anger. So here we're saying, if you're not supposed to be angry, Ragzan might also be Yodel or Ragzan Nusa, maybe then you need to be careful about Nedorim. Bakapara is saying no, but if you have a person around who's Enim Loib Mikrov, Loib Mishnah, etc., then by all means go make a neder if you need to stay away from him. Shenemo, from Moshev Leitz and Loyosha, because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk praises a person who stays away from Mo, who doesn't sit in the company of Leitzim, and such a person who doesn't have Mikra, Mishnah, Derech Eretz, Moshev, he's sitting with him, Moshev Leitzim is going to be a session of Leitzim, because it actually points out he doesn't have Mikra, he doesn't have Mishnah, he doesn't have Derech Eretz. So what is he going to be involved in? Necessarily, he's going to be involved in Leitzonus. Especially the Maharal, I think, makes a point that a person has most people have a certain natural tendency, they want to accomplish something in the world. So if this person is not able to accomplish a Mikra or Mishnah or Derech Eretz, then he's going to feel the only way to accomplish is with Leitzonus, is with tearing down the things that are important and treating the important things in life lightly and making fun of them, which is the essence of what Leitzonus is all about. So therefore, stay away from such a person and then so that you don't get influenced by him. Marshall also adds the point that you have such a person, for example, might spend his time playing games, which fine, at least the Gemara tells us in Ksubas, it'll help keep him from going crazy altogether, because at least he has something to occupy himself with, but nevertheless, that's still Moshe of Leitzim, because it's not something that has any practical use. Of course, if you are able to be mashpia on him, that's a whole other matter. Then we're not saying Dermi Menu Hana. We're talking about where's the concern that you might be influenced by him. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Tes Elul. Pasuk says at the end of Parshas Kisavai, Moshe tells the Jewish people, "I led you for 40 years in the desert, and why nothing Hashem lachem levodas? Hashem did not give you a heart to understand by nine lishmaya, etc. Ada yemazeh until this day." Rashi explains on the pasuk Now, what does it mean that Hashem hasn't given you until now, Lev Lodas, that you haven't had until now the ability to recognize the Hasadim of Hashem and to cleave and to connect yourself to Hashem, Adayim Azeh, because a person doesn't understand the full import of the Das of his Rebbe and the Chochmah of his Mishnah until 40 years. So elsewhere, by the way, Tosfos discusses, does it mean 40 years when the person is 40 years old, or does it mean 40 years since he learned Torah? The context of the pasuk seems to suggest 40 years since he learned it, because after all, many of the Jews at this point are a lot older than 40 years old. Anyway, so what are we saying? A person that ad arba'im shana, it takes for a person to be oymen al das rabbi. We don't just mean the boss of a dom rebbe. We mean the ultimate rebbe Hashem. So that means, in other words, when 40 years have passed, then you have a greater degree, a more perfect degree of recognition of Hashem. The Rebbe was saying the Sicha Eik of Tosh and Dalad Mem, which was 40 years since Rebbe Levi Yitzchak, his father, had been nisalid. Anyway, so the Rebbe says we'll have this complete, the completeness of this recognition will be in Yemos HaMashiach when Renigla Kvod Avaya, and when also the Torah of HaMashiach will be revealed. That's the real Daita de Rabbe, that's the real Soif Daita of Chochmas Mishnasai, that will be revealed then and that we'll fully understand in a way that we don't now. Continuing with halachas of Elul, so you want to find for slichas and for davening by the Yomud, for you want to find a shliach tzibur whose hogun is an erlich person and godol b'toto of ma'isim tovim as much as possible. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says also he should be at least 30 years old, because then already like he's a calmer person, he doesn't have the excitability of youth. And I'd say he's more of a humble person. Now, to that, but adds actually, it's even better that he should be Adam Muflag. He should be a person distinguished in age and in Chochmah, whatever. He should be married and have children, because then the Mishnah mentions in the Masechta Tainis, and he's more sincere in his tefillos, because he's davening on behalf of his family. It's not just a personal thing. The same way, the Baal Tekeah and Rosh Hashanah and the Makri should all be Baalei Torah and Vira, and Baalei Torah and Vira, as much as you can find. The bottom line is every Yid is kosher for all these things, as long as the Kohol is willing to have him. If you see, it mentions this in connection with regular davening throughout the year as well, and it applies also over here, that if a person sees that there's going to be machlokas about it, then better let him stay away, even though the other person might be less qualified.
The Kitzur mentions he should have a beard also.
He doesn't mention it here in this connection. He mentions it in connection with regular weekday davening, that the Shliach Tzibur should have a beard, yeah. But wow, you have, there's a halacha, it's not just in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you have a halacha of a shatz kavua, a regular, we're not just talking about somebody who davened by the Yomar, it's a one-off thing. A shatz kavua is supposed to be not just that he has a beard, but he has a full beard. That he's not just a bacher whose beard is first starting to sprout, he has a fuller beard. But when you're talking about a one-off thing, then it's not a problem, even about mitzvah. Bacher can do it, but here we're talking about davening by the Yom and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, then yeah, you need higher standards.